Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, we started a series on God and considered that God is love. There are many more aspects of God in addition to love. In the beginning, when God said, "Let us make man after our image and likeness," man was not made exactly like God because man was made subject to the limitations of a physical existence and without the benefit of a full measure of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible are we told that God is the image and likeness of people, though popular culture frequently portrays God in this light, whether it be a movie or a television show. Seldom will a movie or television show portray God with any level of reverence that is worthy of God. More times than not, God is portrayed to be just like any person you might know in your neighborhood. God is not common, and yet is often considered to be somebody who is common, complete with common personality traits found in people. God is not common. God is holy and is worthy of the reverence due because God is holy. We can see the majesty of God's holiness throughout the Bible, and it is clearly shown in the book of Revelation, where in certain chapters we are given glimpses into heaven and life around God's throne. John was called up in a vision, and when he saw heaven and God's throne, he saw majesty befitting royalty in an area adorned with precious stones and metals. Surrounding God's throne were the seats of the 24 elders. The seven spirits of God originate from this heavenly throne, and in front of the throne is imagery of a sea of glass. Also seen near the throne are four incredible angels, each having six wings, that take on the look of a lion, an eagle, a calf, and even a person. It is these angels who proclaim that God is holy. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God is called holy throughout the Bible. In the Psalms, we can see a description of the throne of God that is between cherubim. We are told to worship him because God is holy, and reminded that God's name is holy. Moses, Aaron, and Samuel all called upon God, and God answered them as a God of mercy and forgiveness, and as a God who did not accept sin. We are to exalt God and worship Him because God is holy. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble, He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them, call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Isaiah had a vision of God sitting on the throne of heaven. Above the throne stood seraphim, and each had six wings, two of which were used to cover the face, two to cover the feet, and two of which were used to fly. The seraphim proclaimed God's holiness to each other. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The people of Israel knew God to be holy. When Moses was living in Midian with his father-in-law Jethro, he came across a burning bush that, while ablaze with fire, did not burn. The sight of a burning bush oven by itself would be alarming, but noticing that a bush that is ablaze with fire that is not burning would especially grab most of our attention, and it grabbed the attention of Moses. As he approached the bush, Moses heard God calling to him and telling him that he needed to take off his shoes, because the place where he was standing was holy ground. God went on to explain that He was the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and added that He would send Moses to Pharaoh to bring Israel out of Egypt. At this point, Moses would have been pleased to remain in Midian, living out his life with his wife and her family away from the spotlight of Egypt. God had different plans for Moses, and these plans began by telling Moses to take off his shoes because the ground was holy. That which is holy cannot be approached in the same manner as that which is common. And Moses was being taught that in approaching God who is holy, a different approach must be used. What might be acceptable for all other people on earth would not be acceptable for God. With all other people, shoes could be worn while approaching them, but not with God in this context, because the ground was holy. Moses heard God, and the thought of coming face to face with God was so intense, he hid his face from God because he was afraid to look at Him. Moses came to be used by God exactly like God told Moses, and it started with God teaching Moses of the need to remove his shoes because the land he was standing on was holy ground. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Joshua reminded the people of Israel that their God was a holy God. He was not a God that was common like the gods of the nations they would soon overpower. With the God of Israel who was holy, there was an expectation of exclusivity. Because God was holy, only the God of Israel would be served. With God, there could be no serving him and other gods of the nations nearby. Only the God of Israel was holy, and only the God of Israel would be served. Joshua asked the people of Israel if they intended to truly serve the God of Israel, because he wasn't sure if they had the intent to do so. He directly challenged the people who assured him that they indeed would serve the God of Israel, the God who is holy. He again reminded them that they must put away any foreign gods and only serve the God of Israel. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. People said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Samuel's mother Hannah knew that God was holy, and because God had shown her favor in giving her a son, she vowed to give her son to the service of God. Even though she had conferred with Eli, a priest, the sons of Eli were so corrupt that they even made Eli look bad. It should have been Eli to see that God was holy and use that to rebuke his sons who were using God to exploit people. But instead, it was Hannah who knew that God was uniquely holy. She knew it was God who would protect and exalt the saints, probably knowing that Eli's sons exploited women like her. She did not look to the priests for holiness. She looked to God for holiness, because with God, there was none who were holy like God was holy. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Prior to the birth of Jesus, Mary visited Elizabeth and Zacharias, who would be the parents of John the Baptist. When Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, her baby, who she was still carrying, reacted within her. Elizabeth knew that Mary would be blessed among women, and Mary knew that God's name was to be magnified, and that his name was holy. Luke 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. When Moses sang a song of deliverance after the armies of Egypt had been destroyed in the sea, he praised God in many different ways, naturally praising God for eliminating their enemy and recalling how God used the sea to not only deliver Israel, but to destroy the armies of Egypt. Moses exclaimed, "There was nobody who could be like God, as God was glorious in holiness." Moses, through song, shared with Israel that God's glory comes through holiness. Exodus 15, verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? God would take care to explain to Israel what they should and should not eat, further explaining the dietary laws of the Bible. And as part of the teaching, God explained this was done because God is holy. They needed to be holy. Leviticus 11, verse 41. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The concept that Israel needed to be holy because God is holy is repeated in the Old Testament and is linked to doing what God taught and rejecting the gods of nations they would encounter during their journey. Leviticus 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. In Chronicles, we read how David delivered to Asaph a psalm to thank God. And in thanking God, David recognized that God's name is holy. And that understanding should lead us to be happy and rejoice. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Through the Psalms, we read of God's holiness. Blessings are proclaimed for the people of God who rejoice in God, because through God's righteousness, they are exalted, knowing that God is the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. In another psalm, holiness is defined to be a type of beauty. It is God, our Father in heaven, who has the beauty of holiness, whose glory is incredibly great, especially when compared to people who do not know God. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. In the Psalms, we also learn that God's name is magnified by his people, who can speak of the glory of the kingdom of God and speak to the power of God, who know that God is righteous in all his ways and is holy in everything that he does. Psalm 145, verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. In Isaiah, we see that God is not only eternal, but that God is holy. Being eternal and having complete control over all that is known and more, God could choose to surround himself with anybody, and having defeated an uprising by Satan and his demons, God chooses to surround himself with those who recognize that God's name is holy, who have a humble and contrite spirit. For the wicked, there is no peace with God. But for those who are humble and contrite, who know that God is holy, there is great peace. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Hosea shows that God is not a man like we are people. So many who do not know God want to make him out to be nothing more than just another person. When God is made out to be just another person, there is no majesty, nor can there be any ascribed holiness. The cascading impact of that idea would only lead to people thinking more highly of themselves than they should, diminishing the need to spiritually improve one's life. We are blessed and should always see God as the Holy One and strive to develop the righteousness of God. Hosea 11, verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me, my repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Getting back to the book of Revelation, we see imagery of the seven last plagues, with angels singing the song of Moses, also praising God as holy, who is worthy to have the praise and adoration of the nations. Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. God is holy, and we might think being holy is beyond who we can be in this life. And yet Paul told the Ephesians that they were chosen by God before the foundation of the world was laid, that they should be holy and blameless before God in love. God called us with that perspective in mind, so we need to be striving for not only love, but for holiness, knowing this fate has been made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that they were called to become holy. Though we have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, we are expected to be in mental control of who we are physically and emotionally, so that we can live a life reflecting the calling we have been given. We're seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, where we seek holiness is possible. As we live our life, we also seek a life of honor and live a life that would bring honor to God our Father. While we might be subject to the weaknesses of being human, we never allow the weaknesses of being human to be an excuse for any sins we may have. Because God is holy, we know we have been called to be holy, and we spiritually expect more of ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. In Hebrews, we are told to follow peace and holiness with all people. And from Romans, we recognize that might be limited by circumstances thrown at us by other people. While we might follow peace, living at peace may not always be possible. It is always within our control if we react with holiness or without holiness. And Hebrews sets an expectation that we follow holiness. No matter how challenging life is for us, we are not given a free pass on the expectation of following holiness. And we need to respect the calling we have been given with much greater respect and urgency than Esau, who sold his birthright because he was hungry. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We who have been called cannot disregard our calling to where it is no longer something we value. We have been given our calling, and we have been anointed with and given the Holy Spirit by God, who is holy. If we disregard the value of our calling, we allow ourselves to be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist, so we cannot allow that as part of our life. We know the truth and cannot surrender the truth. 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue with the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. In his first letter, Peter writes that we need to mentally, spiritually, and emotionally prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ. When he writes to gird up the loins of our mind, he tells us to ready ourselves at the most basic level. We prepare ourselves mentally, spiritually, and emotionally for what is to come, and we reflect on what the Bible says will happen, not from a sense of fear or dread, but with an encouragement to be sober and to maintain hope through the return of Jesus Christ. We do not allow ourselves to spin backwards in faith, but use the faith we have in our calling to steady ourselves and propel ourselves forward toward the kingdom of God and God's righteousness as we do what is holy because God is holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is love, and God is holy. Just as God is love, and love is to embody who we are, God is holy, and holiness is to embody who we are. Having been called and given the Holy Spirit, while we know we have forgiveness of sin, we seek God's righteousness and being holy as God is holy. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.